take a minute this morning and think about, what are you thankful for? What are you truly thankful for? Because you see, we live in an increasingly thankless society. People don't seem to be appreciative anymore. They don't look at a small kindness and greet that small kindness with the appreciation that it deserves. You're more likely to hear in our modern society, "Well, they owe that to me," than you are to hear, "I am blessed and thankful." And I truly believe that that shows just one aspect of the progressive deterioration of American society. You know, it wasn't that many years ago that presidents of the United States stood and said, "We need to have a day where people devote their hearts and minds to thanking the Creator for the blessings of liberty." To a day when we could thank the Creator for the hearts of people who reach out to help those who are in need. But now, as I said, we live in a society where you're much more likely to hear, "We're entitled, they owe it to us." I don't know who "they" is, but they are supposed to take care of us, as opposed to we are supposed to take care of each other. And we give thanks to Almighty God for providing us the resources to do this. There was a song, first was a popular song, I think, back in the late 60s, early 70s. It was a pop song, it was a silly song, it was called "Big Yellow Taxi." Does anybody remember it? So they paved paradise and put up a parking lot. The operative lyric in that song was this: "You don't know what you've got till it's gone." And I think that in the prosperity of our modern world, in the convenience of our modern world, in the ease with which we can either take or leave so many things, that a lot of times we don't know what we've got till it's gone. And that might be freedom, that might be liberty, that might be financial resources. It might be friends and family members. But a lot of times we don't stop and really look at things and are appreciative of things until those things are no longer in our grasp. And then we look and say, "Gee, I didn't know what I had until it was gone." When it comes to God, the thankfulness that we are supposed to have is critical in establishing our understanding of what our relationship to the Almighty Creator of the universe is. Do we command Him? Do we tell Him what we want and expect Him to come through, regardless of whether it's right or wrong? Is our expectation out of line with reality? Do we place ourselves effectively above God and try to make Him a servant to us? You've heard me use the term that a lot of prayers refer to an almighty creator that we may as well call Amazon.God, because we think we can place an order and it will have next day free shipping and delivery. Well, here's the secret. We don't command God. We don't control God. We don't command or control our circumstances beyond a certain level. Things happen, and what we need to understand is this, that God desires to bless His people. And often, what God is using to bless us doesn't necessarily look like our expectations of what that should be. But that doesn't change the fact that God is going to give you what is good for you. He is going to lead you successfully, even through a difficult path. Although you would like Him to change the circumstances, sometimes He doesn't do that because it's the best for you. Do we really believe that God is wiser and greater, that He is all-knowing and that He is all-seeing and that He knows the future better than we know the present? If we really do believe that, if we believe that and if we begin to trust Him in a greater depth, then we can do what Paul told us to do, which is to rejoice and be thankful even in adverse circumstances. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Oftentimes, we don't really know true thankfulness unless or until we have experienced lack. Think of someone lost in the desert. That first drink of water is completely unlike the commercial you see when the guy finds the ice chest of water in the middle of the desert and he's disappointed because it's not flavored water. In reality, if that water was dirty and scummy, he's face down in it getting a drink because he desperately has to have a drink. That man truly appreciates a drink of water because he has experienced what life is like without it. Someone who has been truly hungry and truly experienced the pain of hunger is going to be appreciative of a crust of dried bread and not complain because it's not fresh. Not complain because maybe it's a little stale or it's off or it's not my brand. If you're really appreciative of something, if you've experienced a lack, then you're ready to appreciate even the smallest gesture that tries to fill that need. We've referred recently to the story of the prodigal son. And the father was missing his baby boy. He was missing him. Even though he had been shamefully treated by this younger son who said, "Old man, you're as good as dead. Give me my inheritance." And went out and wasted it. From the context of the story, you see Dad kind of going up on the hill every day and looking in the direction where his boy had disappeared, saying, "Is he coming back today?" Aren't there people that we would like to go up on the hill and look to see if they're coming back today? Thankfulness occurs when our deepest needs are met. But thankfulness needs to occur in every part of our lives. Psalm 100 says this. The psalmist writes, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It's He who's made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." The psalmist gives us an indication. Let's look at starting here at verse 4, says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving." Well, where are the gates to your property? It's out there on the perimeter someplace. You're first coming into the area that you control, you enter the gates. So the first entry into the presence of someone is to come through their gates. So our first entry into the presence of Almighty God is to enter His gates. And the psalmist tells us how we're to do that. We're to do it with thanksgiving. Now, I want to tell you something about thanksgiving. Thanksgiving acknowledges that there is someone greater than you that can provide that which you cannot provide for yourself. Think about that. If we are to enter into the presence of God with thankfulness, we have got to acknowledge that He is greater than we. To acknowledge that He is greater than we is one thing. To acknowledge that He is greater than me is another level. Who is on the throne? Is God on the throne or are you on the throne? Who rules and reigns? Who knows more? Who is wiser? Who sees farther and deeper? You or God? If we're going to enter into God's presence, which is what we should daily, hourly, moment by moment seek to do, if we want to be in the presence of God, we've got to enter into His presence acknowledging that He is who He is. That He is up here and we are here. But yet He invites us in. He wants us to come into His presence. And in order to truly come into His presence, we need to learn to be appreciative of what He has done for us. But it's true. Oh, there's a word that describes this relationship. acknowledging that He is greater than we, acknowledging that He is greater than me. It's a little word called humility. Now, people will take you down a false road and equate self-deprecation to humility, that I'm nothing, I'm just an old block of coal, I'm lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. They want to take, you know, and paint the picture of humility as beating yourself down. That's not biblical. Biblical humility is this: acknowledging that God is God and I am not. There are things He knows that I do not and cannot know. There are things that He understands that I'm not capable of understanding. There are avenues and paths and things that lie before me that I cannot foresee, but that He knows. He knows with the certainty of looking back at it, because to God there is no tomorrow and there is no yesterday. There is just time. And He is ever present in every moment of time. He knows that which has been, that which will be, and that which is. And He's able to see the destination at the end of the road when all we can see is the first step on the path. You see, we've got to get this humility issue set in our minds that God is God and I'm not. Well, you know, preacher, I don't do that. I don't try to put expectations on God. Yeah, you do. You'll have a problem in your life, or you'll have a situation in your life, and you will work up in your mind how God is going to solve that problem. How is God going to do? He's going to move over here, and this person's going to change their attitude, and then this will happen, then this will happen. He'll decide to do that, and I'll end up where I want to be. Congratulations, you're playing God. And it doesn't work very well. And generally speaking, if you can conceive what the answer is, that's not the answer God will give you. Let's look at an example from history. In the time in which Jesus came to dwell on this earth for a period of time, the Jewish sages and all those who studied the Torah, they had figured out what Messiah would look like. They had figured out what Messiah would do and how He would restore the kingdom to Israel physically. And then along comes a baby born in a manger, not in a palace. He didn't have a silver spoon and a gold ring. He had a bed of straw in a feeding trough. He was not raised in a palace. He was raised in the humble home of a carpenter. And He did not come with a sword and an army to displace the Romans and throw them out of Israel and restore a kingship to Israel then and now in a tangible world. He came to give His life to pay for the sin of the world so that at some future time He could return and rule and reign. Their expectations robbed them of the potential of the blessing that they could have had. And we do the same thing. Far be it from us to admit it, but we do the same thing. Thankfulness acknowledges something greater than self, and it's an expression of humility. And humility is very much like the Hebrew concept of shalom. It is, everything is in its right relationship. God is God and He is on His throne and He cares for me as I walk through this world. You can have peace and you can have humility when you acknowledge that God is God and I am not. But yet we live in this society where it's all about me. I want, I need. Somebody owes me something. I'm going to give you something to meet your need. Well, what you gave me does not meet my expectations. Therefore, I am not thankful for what you gave me. It might keep me from starvation, but it's not my brand. It might keep me warm, but there's a hole in the elbow. You didn't do it the way I wanted you to. I don't like the music. I don't like the preaching. The sanctuary's too cold. The sanctuary's too hot. The seat's uncomfortable. You know where we could be meeting in church? We could be meeting hiding in the woods or in a cave somewhere to keep the military from taking us off or shooting us because we did it. Are we thankful? Yes. Really? Yes. Here's the thing. How much time do we spend thinking about the fact that I wish the preacher would turn the heat up in the sanctuary or turn it down? Or how much time do we think about, boy, it's nice to be able to sit here and celebrate God? How much do we think about, it's great that we can gather together and we have the opportunities that we have, or how much time do we think about the fact of all the things that we can't do for some reason? How much time do we think about the fact that we're still alive and breathing and healthy enough to get out and go and not lying someplace on a respirator? How much do we think about that? And how appreciative really are we? Going back to this psalm here, it says we enter His gates with thanksgiving. And if we have this thankful attitude that we are appreciative of who God is and what He has done for us, then the next thing happens automatically. If we are truly thankful, entering His gates with thanksgiving, and how much easier is it to enter His courts with praise? You see, the gates let you on the property. The courts are the areas surrounding the house. You're getting closer. You got on the property with thanksgiving, you get close to the house with praise. Well, what's praise? Praise is celebrating God for who He is. Realizing that He's the one that provided everything. He's the one that we are thankful for and to. If we're really thankful and it begins to work in us and we have this humility working in our lives, then we'll find that we want to celebrate the one who's taking care of us. And praise naturally falls off of our lips. God is great. He's glorious. He's merciful. Man, I deserved to be destroyed, but He didn't want me to be destroyed. He reached out of His goodness and His grace and His kindness, and He reached down and He pulled me up out of the mud hole. Not once, but every time. We all been in the mud hole. Some of us get up out of the mud hole and fall face first back in it. We enter His gates with thanksgiving, and we get even closer to Him with praise. Isn't the goal to be in His presence? Isn't the goal to just come into the presence of God and experience the fullness and the joy and the love and the relationship, the care that He gives, the love that is His very nature? Don't we want to be in His presence? Isn't that why we come once a week into this building to try to enter into the presence of God? You sure don't come to hear some preacher talk. You don't come to hear Shane sing. We need to be coming for something bigger than that. Don't we want to walk into the very throne room of God, and not just into the throne room, but right up to the front stage and sit on Daddy's lap? Experience His presence. Experience the fullness of His Spirit. You got to be in the right place to do that. You can't be sitting back there saying, "Hey, God, you're in my seat." And by our words and our actions and our thoughts, we do that way more often than we conceive that we do. When our plan is the A plan and God's plan's not the A plan, guess what? You're telling Him He's in your chair. We need to be thankful. You see, thankfulness is not an end in and of itself. Thankfulness is a key. You get into the gates with thankfulness. You get into the courts with praise. The key leads you into a place where you can experience, does the Bible not speak of fullness of joy? Well, what would that look like? Fullness. I can't hold anymore. I poured it into the pitcher, and I keep pouring it into the pitcher, and the pitcher's so full that it's flowing out of the pitcher. You see, that's the way fullness works. And we're supposed to be able to experience fullness of joy. And the key to getting into a place where you can experience that is first and foremost being thankful for what you already have. Being thankful for what God has done. Being thankful that you have the ability to come and gather with a group of believers that believe the same thing you do and celebrate what God's done and try to get a little closer to Him. The key to fullness starts with thanksgiving. Jesus said that He came to give life and give it abundantly. What does abundant mean? Full to overflowing. I've seen some boxes go out of here on Tuesdays that are full to overflowing. When people, you know, they carry that box and they've said from time to time that, "I didn't expect to get this much. This is a great thing, you know. It's so full, it's falling off the side. It's so full, sometimes you got more than one box in the cart, and then here's a bag to go with it." There's a tangible evidence of what abundance looks like. You have more than enough. About Thursday, we when y'all gather with your family and celebrate Thanksgiving, you're going to go out of the kitchen with a plate that is abundant. And there might be some sweet potatoes that hit the floor before they get to wherever you're going to eat because you abundantly filled your plate. You know, there are people in this world that would scramble to grab that fallen bite of sweet potato. Are we thankful for the abundance that we have? And not only tangibly like that, think about spiritual abundance. Think about the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you. The very presence, the wisdom, the foresight, the knowledge of Almighty God is in your heart, Christian, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Do we tap into it? Do we let the King of the universe rule and reign in us, or do we try to figure it out on our own? We got all the resources we could ever want. The abundant life is in us, but in order to access it, we need to access it with thankfulness and with humility. That's the only way we can do it. I think as Christians, we should never be satisfied. We should always remain hungry, but we should be content. Now, is there a difference there? Yeah, I think there is. Content is a state of being that says my needs are met and I can be comfortable. But yet, contentment without satisfaction says we yearn for more. And no matter how content we are today, no matter how filled we are today, no matter how thankful we are today, there's always tomorrow, and tomorrow can be more than today. We got to be thankful where we are, but we got to yearn for more. Paul advises to seek the greater gifts, to seek to be closer to God. There's a place where we can be that says, man, I'm mighty glad that God has brought me this far and He's drawn me this close. Can I get closer? Do you ever have one of your children that just can't hug you enough? I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, I want to kind of climb back inside because, you know, I'm squeezing you as hard as I can squeeze you, but I still want to get closer. Can we be that way with God? Can we be pulled right up to the hem of His garment and want to climb in His lap? Can we be content in His lap, or do we want to climb on and hang on to His neck? Can we want more? In this natural world, there's a limitation to about everything. You can get so close, but you can't get closer. Here's a spiritual truth. You can always get closer. Always. There's always another step. No matter how close you are, you can always be closer. Many of us have walked the path as we have grown in our relationship with Christ. And maybe when we first came into the kingdom, we had a big sin that was separating us from God. And we saw this thing, and it's huge, and it's black, and I can't see God for it, and I know I've got to get past it. But then we overcame that one. Through the grace of God, by the blood of the Lamb, we overcame that, and we moved a little closer. And then there was something that was perceived by the world to not be as big and black and ugly. But you perceived that that was still separating you from God. And although it's not this big like the first one was, it's only this big, it's still blocking you from getting to God. And that thing that is definitely smaller than the other one was now looks pretty big to you. But then you overcome that one. And you walk this path and you overcome all of these obstacles, all of these blockages, and now you're down to the little thing. And the little things like a bad attitude seem as big to you as a big thing like an addiction did. Because it's still separating you from God. It might not be a big brick wall, it might be a small fence, but you still got to get across the fence to get closer. And anything that separates you from Him, the closer you get to Him, the bigger the little things seem. You can always get closer. This thankful attitude opens the door for us to access the greater resources to get the junk out of the way so we can get closer. It all starts with being thankful. And back to where we started, we live in a society that discourages thankfulness now. Because the first time you say, Yomi, you're not thankful for something somebody owes you. You're thankful for something somebody gives you, particularly if you don't deserve it. Newsflash, none of us deserves anything that God grants to us by His grace. We deserve one thing, and that is destruction and damnation. That's all we deserve as children of Adam. But what God grants us is an abundance far above and beyond anything we can ask or think or dream. And the key to possessing it is to be appreciative of where you've gotten. I may not be at the top of the ladder, but I'm three rungs up and I'm happy to be on the ladder. I'm appreciative that I'm three rungs up. I need to take another step. So as we go into this season where it's popular to say that we're giving thanks, we have a national holiday that is supposed to be a holiday of thanksgiving, which has turned into less of a holiday of thanksgiving than an opportunity for gluttony, than an opportunity to get out after Thanksgiving dinner to be first at the Black Friday sale, watch some football. We need to get to the heart of what it's meant to be. And when Thanksgiving was created as a holiday, it was created as a holiday to seek the favor of Almighty God, to go before Him and thank Him for His mercies and His kindness and His goodness and His provision. It's not meant to thank the government for a day off. It's not meant to be celebrated solely by indulgence. The heart and soul of Thanksgiving is to come before Almighty God and humbly say, thank you. I'm glad that you care for me. I am glad that I'm in reasonably good health and I have plenty to eat and I have warm clothing and I have a home to attend and I can gather with my friends and family to worship you. Thank you, God. Thank you that you have saved my soul from hell. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for air to breathe and water to drink. Thank you for the necessities of life. Thank you for the good memories and good times that I've had. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my family. Thank you for leading me through the dark places into your glorious light. Thank you, God. Stand with me. What are you thankful for today? What are you truly thankful for? I want to give you an opportunity to think about that for a minute. I want to give you the opportunity to think about maybe I have been just a little self-indulgent and thinking somebody owes me as opposed to thanking God for what He's given me. There's always, I think, in all of us a touch of God, why haven't you done this yet? Or why haven't you done that yet? Why haven't you solved this problem? And He's sitting there thinking, are you happy that I brought you this far? Are you content that I have promised to never leave you nor forsake you, but walk with you through the fire? Take a look inside and see if you can say, thank you, God. And I want, thank you for what you've done, and I want to get closer. I want to know you more. And regardless of what the path looks like to get there, I will praise you anyway.